Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
You are playing Dead or Alive Extreme 2?
Yes, I confess.
Very nice.
Playing, it's really a stretch to say playing, though.
Well, on that note, I'll remind everyone that this is Chatterbox Booby Game Radio, and my name is Alon.
My name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
So we talk about video games, and apparently we talk about booby games as well, which is Dead or Alive Extreme 2.
It's really more boobies and less game.
Is it just called Extreme 2, or is
they dropped the volleyball.
They recognize the fact that there's no game there whatsoever, and that it's only extreme boobies.
Well, how are you supposed to know that it's beach volleyball if it doesn't have
it's
beach
not,
volleyball?
Because it's not beach volleyball anymore.
I thought it was volleyball.
No, it's really nothing.
They realize that volleyball is a very small part of the game.
Is it just chicks running around in sand in bikinis then?
Yes,
pretty much. I got to tell you,
sweet.
I was actually very interested in this game when it first came out. I happened to play like the first day or two that it came out. I was hanging out with a bunch of people from the store because I used to – this is when I was working at GameStop.
Right.
And people were really – they were really oddly into this game, and one of the guys we worked with really liked it. And it was just it captured me for a short period of time.
It's just so bad. I mean, it's so nice to look at, and it's so bad.
Yeah, well, it is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I've never seen the second one. I'm talking about the first one. The first one is still better graphics than most games you see today, and that was only on the Xbox.
Well, the second one is pretty much the same thing as the first one. They just, like, added more so-called mini-games, and that's pretty much it.
Well, they enhanced the graphics, right?
Well, yeah, obviously.
And it's probably not hacked like the first one where I had all boobs and stuff, like nakedness.
No. Well, you had to do something special to do that, didn't you?
Well, yeah. Edit some of the files and whatever.
Yeah.
But it was good times.
Legal to mod your Xbox, Alon?
I don't believe there's anything illegal about it.
Okay.
But I'm glad you brought up the 360 because...
Did I bring up the 360?
Well, you did by association.
That is a weak segue.
Hey, I'll take what I can get.
Okay.
I've got a very special announcement for you guys and everyone listening.
Have you finally got your 360 replaced?
No, it's actually magically, I sung it some love songs or whatever, and it's magically playing now, and
nice.
No problems. But the most important thing is that very recently a game called Omega 5 came out.
I've seen that listed on Xbox Live left and right, but I don't know what it is.
Yes, I didn't know what it was, but I can say without any hesitation whatsoever now, that for the first time, when somebody asks me, hey, Ara, are there any good Xbox Live arcade games? I can say, yes, there are.
It's Geometry Wars and Catan and Carcassonne.
It's Omega 5.
Yep.
Or Omega 5.
This is like, it's. I was talking to my friend about it, and I was like, is this the first Japanese game that actually... the first original one that came out on Live, and actually it's not, you know, Pac-Man Champion Edition, if you want to consider that original or not, was first. But this is like, I don't know. The best way I can explain it is like, it's like Forgotten Worlds, right? You guys remember Forgotten Worlds on the Genesis?
Nope.
I do, kind of like Section Z.
I know this game came out probably before a lot of people were born who play video games.
I had a Sega Genesis, but I don't play shooters like you
do. It was a side-scrolling shooter, but with dudes instead of spaceships.
Yeah, and the thing
kind of like Aicho and Nikki.
You could, you know, kind of like rotate your character around so you could shoot in any direction.
Yeah.
So it uses, you know, the well overused two sticks type of control scheme.
You mean one moves the ship, one aims the gun?
Right.
Okay.
They have on like 12 games now on Xbox Live, and it's really, really nice. I was really impressed. I played the demo, and I mean, it's not perfect. They do, you know, there's the screen's a little busy, and there's some there's some issues with the enemies kind not really giving you enough of a cue sometimes when they're about to like charge on the screen and stuff.
Do you mean the non-interactive art is too busy, or there's too many bullets?
No, it's just too busy. It has some contrast issues, but really, like, all of these, you guys know how much I like to complain, and all of these are really, really minor things compared to the joy that this game has brought me.
Well, because you love shooters.
You complain about games? No.
And it's not because I love shooters, because there's so many piece-of-crap shooters out there that this was like, this is really nice. I mean, you can really tell that these people, I checked out the credits, there's like 10 or less people actually built it, right? That these people actually put a lot of care and a lot of thought into this game. There's
not like that crappy Red Star game.
Not like that crappy game, that's right. This was like, I'm like, wow, what's going on here? You know, this is like, this is really impressive. And not only that, they've managed to take a pretty tried and true genre and actually introduce some newness into it, which, you know,
so what,
I'm not going to get
it
into those
new
details. But
well, I think that detail's kind of important,
you
don't
like
you,
that
Rich?
Detail, huh?
I don't play shooters, really, so
all right, well,
I've kind of ignored
well, not,
everything.
Now that you'll
saying,
allow me to,
kind of
to descend into
out
ever deeper geekery with this.
We do a video game radio show. I'm not sure if you remember.
I will, yes, but you know, okay, well, every time you get into the descriptions, I like kind of start falling asleep. But anyway, yeah, here's the one thing, right? Here's one of the coolest things. I'm just going to encapsulate this very nicely for everybody. You know, there's this one character that you play, right? And he's like, I don't know, he's some kind of weird dude, and he's flying around. And
you
he
shoot
has, like,
things?
This force. Yes, you shoot things, Rich.
Dude,
he has, like,
I
this force field
this
around
out
him, right?
And hang on, say that again.
He has a force field around him.
Okay.
Okay. And at first, I was like, I was playing the game. I was just, you know, dodging stuff, shooting stuff, whatever. And then I noticed, wait a minute, when these bullets get close to me, something weird's happening. What's going on here? And it took me about, like, 10 more seconds to figure it out. And it's like, oh, my holy Lord. It's like the bullets slow down when they get close to you. They just do. It's just like an inherent characteristic of this character.
Just that one character?
Yeah. And the other character, there's another character you can play as, which has a completely different control scheme.
Do they speed up when they get close to him?
Apparently, no. That would not be creative. That would be boring. And there's other characters that I haven't unlocked yet, which I've been told do, you know, they work completely differently. So it's like you're playing a whole new game when you change your character.
Can you play up to four people at once?
Probably not. I think it's a one-player game. No, there's a multiplayer, but I don't know how it works. I haven't played multiplayer.
You'd imagine it'd be at least two players, like Forgotten Worlds.
Certainly.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend this. I went out and I immediately did the calculations to figure out, okay, what's the cheapest way I can get the points necessary to buy this game?
I think that's just to order them online.
Yes, then that is indeed the cheapest way. Mm-hmm. And I did that, and I got my game, and I'm very happy now.
Sweet.
All right.
So there you have it.
Cool. Come over to my house, and then we can play with your gamer tag.
Sweet.
All right.
We're going to do it.
So what else are we going to talk about today? You came in saying you've got a whole bunch of stuff.
I have
my whole conceptual.
I've got so much stuff. This show is going to be like bursting with information.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left. So
that's exciting.
Rich.
What?
You came to me saying today, what are we going to talk about? And I like to come to you and ask, well, what do you have, sir?
Well, I went on a little rant to you about Soul Calibur 4 trailer. And
yeah.
How
does that have to do with boobs?
No, it has to do with Yoda and Darth Vader.
Quiet there. Ara.
Oh, I spoiled it. Whoops.
Ara.
Hi. How you doing?
Is Yoda supposed to be able to fight? Yes or no?
All right. Is there, like, money riding on this or what?
No.
No. I'm just asking you, is it okay that Yoda fight?
I just thought it was completely out of character that the new Star Wars characters didn't have enhanced boobs like all the rest of them.
All right.
Let's get off the question we asked.
Is it okay? And people in the chat room, feel free to chime in here.
I don't care. I really don't. Because
you don't know what Star Wars is all about.
Because I hate Star Wars. Oh. I think it's boring.
I don't know anything about Star Wars either. Oh. So it prevents me from caring.
Okay.
However,
the correct answer is Yoda should not be able to fight with a lightsaber.
No, the correct answer is I don't care.
As he was presented in Episode 2 where he spins around and fights Lord Dooku, that should not be possible because he's a 19-year-old, 2 foot tall.
I bet
fragile.
You mean 900-year-old.
What did I say?
19.
19, yeah. He's a 900-year-old small little green creature that has to use a cane to walk very slowly.
Yes, I'm sure that Star Wars fans the world over are just rolling around in hysterics right now.
Maybe his ability to move around is inversely proportional to his speed.
No.
Or directly proportional to his speed.
He should not be able to fight. He should not be able to fight.
He has the Force, though. I mean, come on. The Force can... He's like the master, so he can
like
do whatever.
He's like the old wise guy
he
that
can do
knows
whatever.
Everything.
Well, what is he going to do? Like, talk you to death?
I've got no problem with him fighting. Anyway, feel free to give us a call, folks. We're going to talk more about that and a whole bunch of other things as soon as we come back.
Listening to Arizona's News Talk leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
Color me...
Alan is entranced right now at the Leonid the Magnificent.
And my name is Rich.
And if you don't know who that is, it's better that you don't know. And if you do know who that is, please don't embarrass Alan.
Yeah, so we have this chat room that people go into during the show live, right? And you're free to do so as well at chatterboxers.com. And someone's like, hey... Well, I won't say exactly what he said, but he said, go watch this video on YouTube. And I do. Now it's on YouTube. It can't be crazy. There's not a lot, you know, not a lot of porn or two girls, one cup on YouTube or anything.
Yeah. They're pretty loose, though. I mean.
But it's just, wow. Anyway, yeah, if right. You want in on that, you're going to have to head over to the chat room.
Yeah, there's all kinds of action going on in our chat room.
Yeah, outside of the chat room, you should also be visiting uat.edu, which is the website for the University of Advancing Technology, which has advanced quite a bit in the last year with dorms and whatnot. Back in the day, we had to live in our own houses and apartments, right, Rich?
Yep, apartments. Hurrah.
Woohoo!
I'm not going to go into it. It's kind of gross in our apartment. Never mind. Ignore me.
All right. Have you registered for classes for next year yet?
No.
All right.
Exciting.
Now, good times.
Before we went to the break, you mentioned that we love to get phone calls. But you didn't mention the number. So.
Well, we didn't have a lot of time. It's 866-536-1100.
There we go.
Of course, that's also on our website. Now, Rich, Star Wars.
Star Wars. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. 1 minute tell me why
I
care.
Yeah, let's keep this at a minute.
I'm just saying.
Can we have like a buzzer, like a timer go off after a minute?
Let me just start talking. All right. So, Calibur, I understand adding, you know, the outside characters because it can be fun. Like Link was in Soul Calibur 2 and Spawn and whatever Tekken guy for each version of the game. Whatnot.
I think you're talking about Soul Calibur 3, right?
Soul Calibur 2. Soul Calibur 2? 3 I never actually played.
Oh, yeah, that was
it
one
was
only
exactly
on
the same. Or I don't know. I didn't really care. Anyways, Yoda and Darth Vader. Despite the fact that Yoda shouldn't be fighting, I'll let that slide. The fact that Yoda and Darth Vader are using lightsabers in a sword weapon fighting game, they automatically win. They have lightsabers. Everybody that has a sword made out of metal, or anybody that doesn't have a lightsaber, automatically dies when you're fighting a Jedi, period.
What if you're fighting a guy who's not a Jedi but just has a lightsaber?
Darth Vader is a Jedi, and he has a lightsaber, so everybody automatically dies, period.
Yeah.
Unless it's...
Hey, didn't you play Mario and Sonic's Olympics with me on the Wii?
Yeah, that game was terrible. Sonic should win every racing game, and he doesn't.
All right.
He's slow.
Hey, isn't like Mario in one of the Soul Calibers or something?
No.
Link?
Link is.
I said that. He's on the GameCube version of Soul Calibur 2.
Were you
But he's like...
Yeah, I don't pay attention to these things.
He's like on par. Like, he uses a sword, and he's like human-ish. You know, like, he has the abilities of every other person in the game. He has pointy ears, but that's besides the point. He's not a Jedi with a lightsaber. You can't put that in a sword-fighting game unless it's fighting other Jedis with lightsabers.
Well, I'm sorry they broke the Soul Calibur canon for you. Aren't they at least secret characters?
It's not even breaking the canon. It's the fact that it's just retarded.
I think he's more concerned about the Star Wars canon.
Ironically, they probably will be the most controllable and, I don't want to use the word realistic, but I'm going to, realistic Star Wars characters in any game.
Yeah, you swing the lightsaber and then it cuts the other guy's sword in half.
Yeah, you mean,
and then you
mean
cut Taras the person's head off. And, yeah. All right, next topic.
All right.
Good. Rich has conceded.
But before we go into all your stuff, I want to point out that I want to actually discuss at some point during this show or another, just conceptually, what draws us to actually play games. Because as I've discussed in the past, people go through these waves, and maybe not so much when you're young. I don't know what the mean age of our listeners is, but certainly for people our age, you get to this point in time where you play games a lot, and then you probably don't play games for quite a while, or you play games of only a certain type.
Yeah. Like if a new Disgaea game comes out or not.
Perhaps. Or just you decide to start playing games a lot more, but then something else distracts you from it in life. And so I'm at this point where I'm playing like Catan and Carcassonne and like Rock Band, but I'm not playing a lot of adventure games. Maybe that's for lack of adventure games, but there's a lot of stuff I'm not playing lately and a little bit weirded out by it, go through these phases. In fact,
right.
It was like that before I started doing the radio show a few years ago, then I started playing it, or... doing the show, start playing games more, but I'm in sort of a dip now, and so I'm kind of curious how other people feel, how our listeners feel. I'd love to get a lot of audience participation here. If we could get a lot of phone calls next segment about it, that'd be great. So I'm just going to seed that.
Can we exclude Pen 15 from calling?
Well, I'd like to make him not the only one who calls.
Okay.
But
so if Pen 15 calls in, okay, Pen 15 can only call after somebody else has called in.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
suggest. Can we make that a new rule for today only, maybe?
Perhaps. I want to see that, and then maybe we'll talk about that later. But
that's actually now I'm going to have to water your seed a little here now that we're on a stupid and now
please yes. Move forth and water my seed.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is quickly turning into a bad Saturday Night Live skit, which is most of them. So yeah, it's interesting because I mean personally I'll go through those phases too, right? And a lot of times for me it's just like totally idiosyncratic. It's just like. Right now, there's a lot of games I want to play, actually, but I'm just not. And there's not, like, any particular, like, deliberate reason for it other than, like, just at the moment I choose to spend my time on other things. Like, on Rock Band, you know, I totally, really, truly want to go through, you know, like, that whole vocal thing, you know, so I can, you know, develop my, you know, vocal abilities and go through that. Like, I want to play the drums. I still haven't gone around to that, right?
Oh, because they're too noisy.
Because they're too noisy, exactly. I mean, the guitar, you know, that whole thing, right? But I'm just like not playing it right now, you know. And there's no, I don't know how much analysis can be done.
I think it might be directly related to the amount of time you spend with women in your life.
Yes, there's a very, very strong correlation there.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so let's step away from this. We'll get some calls. If we get calls, we'll talk about it. Put it that way. I want to get some calls.
Right
otherwise,
on.
We'll talk about other
right
stuff.
Right on. Okay.
I feel this is a strong topic. I'm even willing to save it till next week.
Yeah, I think
if it needs to.
I think maybe it may need to like, you know, gestate or whatever topics do when they go away for a while. But yeah, so okay, I got some good stuff for you guys. I got some really interesting
hit
things.
Us with it.
So here's this is gonna be real quick, right? Because we've got so much stuff that I'm gonna do like Rush Limbaugh does, like complain that we never have time and spend most of the time complaining that we never have time. Okay, anyway. So EGM, in their February issue, published this editorial, and I thought this was a really, really cool thing for them to do because they were basically saying that, such and such companies have decided that they don't like what we write about their games, and they're not going to send us product anymore. And they totally called them out. And who did they call out?
Now, was this EGM as a whole, or is it really just Dan Hsu stepping
well, it's,
up?
Oh, it's Dan Hsu.
I read that, too.
The editor-in-chief of EGM. You know,
yeah.
So it's, you know, by proxy, it's EGM, right? So... Here's a little quote from his editorial. He said, "For the time being, you'll get little, late, or no coverage of the following products. Anything Mortal Kombat?" They didn't like our reviews.
Did he say Midway or Mortal Kombat?
No, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Anything Mortal Kombat. Apparently, Mortal Kombat does not like the reviews. Anything from Sony Sports Department? Also, they did not like
Sony
the reviews.
Sony Sports?
I mean, Nine Studios.
No Sony Sports.
What are they?
And now, new development, anything from Ubisoft? It seems our coverage of Assassin's Creed was the last straw. So in case you're wondering why you're seeing so little of these games in our magazines and our websites, now you know. So he basically said, you know what? These companies have decided to stop sending us product. We're not going to do anything about it. We're going to cover them, you know, with the resources we have, and we're not going to get extra resources that, you know, press is normally privy to. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, no, yeah. I like it a lot.
I like that. I mean, I know that Penny Arcade once, you know, they actually... they posted this pretty funny comic about, you know, that journalists growing balls now. And this is very nice. I'm glad to see that journalists have balls, even though, you know, they should have this whole time. Here's the real interesting part of it is that when this was posted on, I think it was Kotaku, there was a whole string of comments. And there were some really interesting arguments being put forth. So this one guy who goes by the handle Fiddlius Wong, whatever that means, he had some interesting things to say, so I'm just going to read it to you guys. And
can I just say first that I don't like the commenting system on Kotaku?
No, you can't say
okay.
that first.
I'm just putting that out there.
Okay. So here's what he said. Don't find the least bit unsettling that not a single bad word was said about Assassin's Creed until E3. When E3 rolled around, they did a paragraph of "we're cautiously optimistic" and then jumped right back on the hype wagon. Assassin's Creed could do no wrong. And then blammo, it's a piece of S. No warning to the readers, no warning to the developers, just a sudden complete 180. And so for a full year and a half, EGM did everything in their power to convince you that Assassin's Creed was a good game just to pull a bait and switch. Despite EGM being on the hype wagon the entire time, they doled out a 4.5, 6.0, and 7.0. This is well below the curve of Creed reviews. This I think, encapsulates like the reaction of publishers and the attitude of publishers.
So mm-hmm. I don't understand. That commenter is saying, and I have no research to believe him or not, but is saying that EGM was previewing it very well until the review came out, and then they finally said, wait, no, this sucks?
Right. Basically.
All right. Isn't that what we said last week happens to everything? Especially things that are hyped big?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the point I was trying to make last week, saying hype skews reviews.
Yeah. I think it's a disconnect between how previews are regarded by publishers and by magazines themselves.
This is actually an example of a hype not skewing the review, which is good, but it skews all the previews.
Right.
Which is what creates more hype. And let's keep talking about this. We'll be back right after the break.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
And we're back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
Ara.
Rich.
That's right. Go over to Chatterbox Video Game Radio at the chatterboxers.com website. Join us in the chat. Give us a call at 866-536-1100. Or, just listen on your podcast because you don't want to listen live. That's fine.
Be all passive. Send us email, you know.
All right. So we're talking about Dan Shu. We're talking about him stepping up and explaining why they're not going to be able to have coverage of some developers or some publishers' products. Things like the Mortal Kombat games, all Ubisoft games. I'm having a hard time holding back all my distaste for Ubisoft in general.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm going to compose myself and not repeat several times.
You're a professional, and you're going to keep it together.
No, they have some really good concepts that are all poorly implemented.
Dude, Beyond Good and Evil was an awesome game.
Let's not go into that. Let's stay on track here, guys.
Okay. EGM got blackballed. Can I say that?
KIT, keep it together.
The interesting part is that they actually said it publicly that, hey, we piss these people off.
Yeah, and I think he did it in a very professional way, you know, because he basically was like, I mean, it was just very straightforward, you know. He wasn't like, oh, the PR people are doing something bad or, you know, anything like that, like singling out any more than you had to in order to just get it out. So I think that was totally sweet. Now, the thing I don't understand was, you know, that those comments that I read before we went from break, right? I'm really surprised because there seems to be like this very, very sharp disconnect between how publishers perceive just the whole like magazine press process and how magazines do. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, usually most magazines, when they, you know, preview or cover games or just, you know, basically do any kind of media on a game that's not a review per se, like, it's pretty much they refrain, by and large, from doing any criticism, you know? And this is a pretty kind of, like, distinct separation here, you know, because the review is intended to be purely criticism, and any other coverage is merely, like, exposition, let's say, right? It's just, here's this, right? And I think what's happening is that in these expositions, right, the press is just gushing so much, right?
Because they get caught in hype.
They're just gushing so much that somebody from the outside looking in, not knowing, you know, what the so-called, you know, unmentioned protocol is, thinks, oh, wow, these guys really like this. They really, really like this stuff.
Which is why, right? I've commented on the status of previews so much because, honestly, I don't know if people have realized this, but a company will not show you a game in preview form until it's really close to finished because they don't want you to criticize and they...
Well,
they
a lot of them
say something
a lot
bad.
Of them try. Yeah, a lot of them try because, you know, they're, I mean, well, for obvious reasons. I'm not going to get into it.
They'll say, listen, I mean, or what they think is that if you criticize something for being the way it is, incomplete, right, you'll forget to say, oh, but this is an incomplete game, so it might change, which, you know, a lot of people might not say, but that's probably because it won't change.
Right.
And what bugs me is that when they do have a criticism of a preview, they say, oh, but don't worry, they said they're working on it. Inevitably, they never fix the issue. The only time some major criticism from a preview has actually been fixed was in Red Steel, and that wasn't fixed. It was just made differently bad. And that was one strange example. But
yeah, I hear you.
Usually you have a preview, and it's just as bad. By the time you see the preview, it's the final game, but it just had more bugs. And you don't reference bugs in your preview anyway because they're a bug.
Right. So I don't know what you guys think, but I don't think that this kind of counter-argument is really valid. I mean, just because a game's getting press does it mean that, you know, the and it gets positive press that's not a review, and then the review comes out and it gets totally trashed?
Mm-hmm.
That somehow, how is that illegitimate? I don't understand, because a lot of people are saying
illegitimate because it's not honest.
Well, how is the review suddenly not honest if you know, you have a bunch of press in the beginning and a bunch of hype, and then the review comes out and the review is bad?
Well, it's not necessarily that the review is bad, but how can you trust someone who lies?
Well,
who
how
are
do
you
know
saying
they're
is
lying?
Lying?
If they preview and say it's great, and then they review it
and
say,
hey, this game is fun, and then they play the final game and realize, okay, well, it's short, or it has this problem, or it has that problem. Because, I mean, they started showing Assassin's Creed, I think, almost over a year ago when they first started demoing the game. It was at, I think it was at CES 07, or was it at X07 in Europe? I'm not sure. It was when they first started showing it. So, I mean, it showed promise, but there were some, you know, glaring glitches in the game at that point. And so people were, I think, excited about the game, but were like, well, they'll probably fix this, and apparently they didn't.
Let's go through the process of the hype with the preview, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So they say Altair or Alistair or whatever the hell his name
Altair.
Is. Right. Look at this. He's awesome. First of all, the graphics are great, but he can run on walls. It's all this free-running concept. It's great.
Yep.
Right? And so people think, oh, it's free-running. They're going to implement that well. It's going to be really cool.
The free-running is implemented well.
Well,
no.
Well, see, this is...
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
You're touching on a point that I wanted to make, which
the rest
is that
of the game isn't.
When there's preview coverage, it's all based on
what the
hopes
good part is.
And dreams and concepts and what you think it's going to be and what you expect it to be and all these things. It's not actually been materialized yet, right?
Exactly. What they need to realize, what they actually see, is probably about the extent of the dream. It's not going to go any further.
Well, that's – I mean,
and I wonder if part
probably.
Of that is – I bet part of that is because they preview it so well. They're like, oh, well, we've got all these previews. You don't even need to work anymore and make it even better because, look, they're going to love it. So here's the thing. Free running sucks because you can't go anything but straight up a wall. That's why the free running sucks.
Well, you can run along a wall.
No, you can't.
And you can hop over.
Sorry, nope.
And you can...
go back and play the game.
You can, like, climb up and grab ledges and
you
then
can
like,
climb
jump
up
to the side.
And you can grab ledges.
For those who can't see, Rich is receiving the pointy finger of Alon right now.
Yeah, you can hop side to side when you're on a ledge.
Are you saying you should be able to run diagonally up a wall?
Yep. You ever play Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You can do a wall run like that.
No, you can't.
Okay, guys, come on. None of that's going to make the game good one way or
another.
No,
it does.
Way,
it does because
way,
it breaks. It...
The wall, the free running is the only good part about the game. It's when you start adding people to the game is when it starts to break down, when you have to run through crowds.
And my point is the only good part isn't even that good.
And you do the same push to every single person, and then everybody gets mad at you because somebody came up to you and pushed you, and you pushed them back, and then everybody gets mad at you for some reason, and then guards start to attack you. That's what's stupid about the game.
Yeah, what I don't understand is if you're walking and you're not going really quiet, why they want to kill you all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. If you're not doing, like, the monk stance and walk along like that, they're like, look at that person. Let's kill him. Like, yeah, it doesn't make sense. But just running around the tops of buildings works well.
I don't know. That sounds pretty realistic. I mean, when I, like, push, you know, I have to push through a crowd and stuff in real life, and then people start pushing back at me, and then you know all of a sudden you know I'm fighting with everybody.
Yeah,
you know, doesn't that happen to you
all the time?
Do you think Ara's ever been in a fight?
I don't know.
Have you ever been in a fight, Ara?
I'll answer yes.
What kind of fight? A verbal fight?
I don't know.
I've been in more fights than you can imagine.
Sure.
Okay. So someone says, what if Red Star got previewed like a piece of S game and it turns out to be awesome?
Well, when
okay.
People don't preview crappy games.
Yeah, they don't preview bad games. They don't say, hey, we got this game.
Well,
it
no,
looks like
they do.
Ass.
What do you mean they don't? I mean, they don't say bad things in previews is what they do.
If the game's not good, like in EGM, it's like it's the one sentence picture in the corner that like, oh, yeah, we saw this game too. Next page.
I wouldn't necessarily make that association.
They give like the full pages to like the games that are hopefully going to be good.
The big hype games.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
And then the
it's
games
correlated
that
with hype. It's
nobody
not correlated
cares
with
about
quality.
Are like that tiny little corner
well, right,
of the page.
But do not.
Well,
do,
I'm not. Some
do not
of those
make,
games are good.
Do not make the mistake.
Some of those games are good, but
on
they're
my,
typically
on this
not.
Show, don't you dare.
Well, Ara, let me ask you this. Do you think, I mean, chicken and egg, what comes first, the hype or the preview?
simultaneous.
Yeah, I mean, like they don't just do previews, right? They do cover stories too. They do exclusives, right? And it's like that's another kind of conundrum, right? I mean, if you've got an exclusive story on a game, you know, you're gonna say something bad about it. If you're ever going to get support from that publisher again,
and then you'll never
probably
get to
review
a Mortal Kombat game ever
now,
again.
Then you just choose a different cover story. But I guess whoever gets the cover story will say something good about it.
Most likely.
That's a problem.
It's a problem. Yep.
Does that happen in other industries too? Like people who review cars and stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I think it happens pretty much everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's why you guys never read reviews. Don't read the magazines. Just look
at
the pictures.
Anybody but Consumer Reports.
That's right.
We'll be back.
Welcome back, guys. So glad you could join us for the final hour.
Segment.
What hour? They have one.
It's like 14 minutes, maybe 13.
The metaphorical final hour of Chatterbox.
It's actually closer to 10.
Yeah, it's even less because we've wasted all this time.
All right, well, let's get right into it then and not even mention our names.
All right, well, we will mention UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, where Rich will be returning with pomp and circumstance. Quite soon.
Yeah, pomp and circumstance.
Sometime this year.
You found a job yet?
I hate that song, that music.
He's trying to change the subject.
I haven't found a job yet. I'm sorry.
All right. One thing I didn't mention earlier when we were talking about Vader and the Star Wars thing in Soul Calibur 4, I really wanted to make comment on just Namco in general and their strange business decisions.
About making money by selling...
Yeah, like I get the impression that they feel like they're struggling because they're not making decisions that benefit gamers very much. Like Tekken 5, Soul Calibur 3 were both PS2 games.
Namco's
they didn't go on other
like
systems.
A lot of profit recently, though, haven't they? They've been doing really well.
That's the thing. I'm sure. I just have a feeling like there was probably some guy way upstairs in the company that says, you know what? Focus on the dollar more.
Yeah.
Like, don't make it for the Xbox. Don't make a game for the upcoming 360. Back when you know Tekken 5 and Soul Calibur 3 were what 360 was starting up. So don't make games for these unknown systems. Only do safe things. Also,
dude, that's like the MO of the entire industry.
Well, but Namco especially, they've been making all these weird decisions. They added those special characters, different ones for each one in Soul Calibur 2.
Yeah.
They're doing this weird stuff with Star Wars
now.
They're just trying to draw in people.
Ever making the Soul Calibur 3 PS3 exclusive? It's because the GameCube version of Soul Calibur 2 is the best selling out of the three.
Yeah, but
anyways,
another point I was going to make
it
is
doesn't.
Soul Calibur Legends or Adventures or whatever.
It comes down to
that
Namco's a sellout, I think, is what we're getting down to.
Well, yeah. Well, you know the Wii version of Soul Calibur?
Yeah.
It's one of the worst rated games on the system.
Legends or whatever.
I think it's called
some
Legends.
Sort of adventure. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, so really they're making
all
these...
saying something if you have one of the worst games on the Wii.
Oh, yeah, it does. And so they're making all these strange business decisions that aren't... they don't involve making quality games. They involve...
making money.
Apparently, yeah. I mean,
that's what Ubisoft's doing, too.
Well, Ubisoft has done that from the beginning.
Yeah.
Namco used to be high quality, and now there's a lot of question involved.
Okay, so how about for some news that isn't obvious?
Oh, try.
Fine.
Go ahead.
I was just going to point out that even Katamari has gone downhill.
Yeah, it has.
Oh, yes. Well, they're milking that horse, aren't they?
The fact that they charged more money for
whatever
the new version than the previous versions is beyond my comprehension. Anyways.
Okay. You guys ready for this? This is good. This is really good. It's almost too easy for me to mention this.
Too easy.
Yes. This is... Do you guys know who Kevin McCullough? McCullough?
No, never
McCullough
heard of him.
Okay.
Is he some religious...
That's my guess.
Religious reviewer of some sort?
He's some kind of crazed white right-wing nut job, okay?
Probably also white.
Author,
since you brought it up.
Perhaps. Most probably.
That picture you're looking at, is he?
Author of The Musclehead Revolution, Overturning Liberalism with Common Sense Thinking.
Ooh.
Let's find out what Kevin considers to be common sense thinking. So he writes this article on, I don't know, some kind of like fascistic website called townhall.com. And yes, it involves video games.
Sweet.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
This is politics with a video games angle here,
all
guys.
Right.
All right. And his article is called The Sex Box Race for President. Okay. And what does he do? He spends the whole article talking about this game called Mass Effect. You guys heard about Mass Effect, right?
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Okay. So
Rich plays that game a lot.
I finished it.
Apparently he knows a lot. Now, he's going to tell you a little bit about Mass Effect. Apparently, it allows its players, universally male no doubt, to engage in the most realistic sex acts ever conceived. One can custom design the shape, form, bodies, race, hairstyle, breast style, size of the images they wish to engage, and then watch in crystal clear LCD, 54-inch screen, HD clarity, as the video game, quote, persons hump in every form, format, multiple, gender-oriented possibility they can think of.
Can I ask you how the description of the television has anything to do with the game?
I don't know, but apparently LCD makes everything better.
You can't have a CRT monitor and do it?
No, it has to be LCD.
It has to be an LCD
TV. That's automatically better.
Otherwise, there's no gay sex allowed.
Component cables or HDMI, maybe.
Okay, so my response immediately is, where can I get this game? Now he continues, and he goes out for a while.
All of that was false, by the way.
What are you talking about? Now he goes, now if I have trouble with my son taking his James Bond 007 game a little too emotionally, imagine the powerful effect that hormones add to the mix when the player's own character is copulating like jackrabbits with supermodels, one, actresses, two, and anyone else they could spend the patience to create, name, and, quote, put into play. Once again, where can I find this game?
What I'm curious about, he said the most realistic sex ever conceived, but I don't know how do you conceive?
It's beyond your imagination's ability to produce.
Never seen Second Life.
But the interesting aspect of conception is that you make things up that are not realistic.
Yeah.
It's beyond your imagination. It's everything.
This guy is a poor writer.
His whole description of being able to completely create whatever character you want is completely wrong.
Okay, two more quotes before we get to the criticizing.
Continue.
And because of the digital chip age in which we live, Mass Effect can be customized to sodomize whatever, whoever, however the gay player wishes. Once again, I'd love someone to make this game. And then he ends it by saying, how refreshing would it be for a president to prove to the nation that his own manhood was not in question and put his pen and signature to a bill that would deal with such stimulated sex excess in a way that was punitive to its creators to such a degree that they would never recover from it. I mean, like, what does this guy want to do? Like, break their knees or something?
No, he's actually saying that I don't want them to have the freedom to produce a game with content that they feel
put them in jail to never recover from it. He's saying that this is like a crime of like one of the most one of the worst that you could ever think of. That if you ever
just saying
you can't
a company
recover?
Shouldn't be able to make this, and if
you
they do, they shouldn't be allowed to make anything
models
else.
Right. And made them have sex.
Okay, so I mean, I think that sounds like a wonderful game. Unfortunately, Mass Effect is not that.
It's not that game.
Like at all. I can't imagine how anyone could get something so wrong.
Yeah, well, that's just not even close to what that game is.
Should we be really talking about all the sensationalist articles that come out because people will just continue to do it?
Yeah,
I mean, that's what he wants, right?
Yeah,
he
but this is so egregious, so bad that it's just hilarious.
Like, he's just blatantly, he's lying completely about it. Like, you can't do almost any of that in the game. There's
Has anybody
scene,
heard of McCullough before this year?
I've never heard of him.
I think it's really just a pen name for Jack Thompson.
Maybe.
Let's look into that.
I bet you've never met Jack Thompson in the same room.
It operates on the same level of logic now, doesn't it?
Or lack thereof, yeah.
Exactly.
I guess that music says we're done, but I mean, the guy is, I don't know, I don't even want to say he's crazy. I bet he very intentionally put all that crap in there just to get attention.
He's lying on
it's
purpose.
It's possible.
Which is great.
It's worth it. I mean, I'll give him the attention. That's pretty funny
stuff.
I
have three nipples.
I want to see
that. That's something that I really didn't want to know, dude.
I mean, maybe you find it interesting. Maybe you want to, I don't know. Anyway, we didn't get to the caller.
Are you satirizing my exposition here?
I made the rule, and then I told him to call in on the IRC, and then he was all like, hey, Alon's not taking the call, so...
You told me there were rules!
It's my own fault, apparently.
No, we're saving it for next week. I want to hear, and this is true, everybody call in next week to tell me what motivates you to play games. I'd like that to be the focus of next week's show. What motivates you to play games, and has there been a time that you just decided you weren't playing games anymore?
Go to the website, find the number, call us next week.
We'll be back.
Good night, guys.
You
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.